Heavenly Father, would you bless the words that I speak? Would Jesus Christ be glorified and the Holy Spirit be at work in our hearts and in our minds? In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes people do crazy things. Sometimes crazy is a relative term. You see, I thought that I was crazy doing a 16-mile trail run through the moors back in August. I thought that was bonkers. Why would I do that? But now I'm planning to run 110 miles in one go in 2021. And all of a sudden, those 16 miles seem perfectly sane. Nothing remotely crazy compared to 110. But such things, relative things, beg the question of what motivates us to do things that might seem crazy to others? What drives us to change, to push ourselves, to improve ourselves, to grow? Often it's a complicated thing, but at the heart of it is what our hearts love. It might be the love of a challenge. It might be the love of self. It might be the love of improvement or achievement and the love of the feeling that that brings. What are the sacrifices that we make for people who we love and how they seem crazy? Like the crazy idea of putting up with living with another person and all of their mess. Or another person and all of their snoring. Or the craziness of moving a city and moving a career to be with the person that you love and giving up your own parents and living with them and all that you've known and potentially your friends. What about the radically crazy idea of changing everything about your life by having a child and how that will turn everything upside down? Love for others can make us do crazy, uncomfortable things. But if love of self or love of others or love of a dream can drive such change in our lives, what about the love of the God of the universe who created each one of us, who gives us the air in our lungs and sustains us, who knows the number of hairs upon our heads? Here in Mark's Gospel at the beginning, we come across a fascinating and crazy passage. Verse 16 to 20. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. If you hadn't gathered by the fact they were casting nets into the sea, we're nicely informed, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately, Mark loves that phrase, immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately Jesus called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed Jesus. How remarkable. How truly remarkable. What power and authority Jesus must have had for Simon and Andrew and James and John to leave their job, their trade that they trained in all their lives, to leave the property of their boats and their nets, to leave their parents and family and servants, and follow a teacher because he told them to, and he told them he would make them fish for men, to catch people for the kingdom of God. Simon, Andrew, James, and John sacrificed everything. Crazy. They chose Jesus. But why? Why? What could drive them to so change? They loved God. They loved God. And though they didn't fully realize it, they knew deep down in their hearts that Jesus was God. And when God says jump, you jump. And when he says follow me, you follow him. As the scholar Ashley Null said about the teaching of Thomas Cranmer, who wrote the Book of Common Prayer that we're using today, what the heart loves, the will chooses, and the mind justifies. What the heart loves, the will chooses, and the mind justifies. What you love most, you find a way to do, and you justify it however you can. What do you love most? What is of greatest value to you? What could drive you to the most change in your life if you fully embraced it? Verses 14 and 15. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel of God. The good news about God. That's what he proclaimed. That the time is now. Not in the future, not in the past, but now. Jesus is saying, I have come here to do the final work, to reconcile God and humanity upon the cross, to declare that sin and death and suffering, it is finished. Your time has come. To bring the kingdom of God down to us. A kingdom of peace through assurance of salvation. Of forgiveness through the mercy of the cross. Joy through freedom in Christ. Power through Christ in us. And hope through the resurrection. A kingdom of the greatest peace and greatest freedom, greatest joy, greatest power, and greatest hope. Indeed, a kingdom of the greatest love. The kind of kingdom that people would willingly lay down their lives for, sacrifice all for, appear to do crazy things for, live for, dream for, work for. Give up their jobs, their purpose and family, and follow. Just as Simon and Andrew and James and John did. But how is this kingdom ours? How do we join this kingdom? What is the citizenship test? Verse 15. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. And believe. Repent. Turn away from the sin and darkness in your lives. Tell the Lord Jesus you are sorry. You are deeply grieved and pained by the things you have done wrong. In thought, in word, in deed, through negligence, through weakness. Lay them down before Jesus and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. That is to repent. And to believe in the gospel. Believe that Jesus will forgive you and the Holy Spirit will change your life from the inside out. To repent and believe is to turn away from sin and turn towards Jesus as the center and focus of your life. As a new year approaches, imminently, will we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength? Will we stand up and do crazy things for what we love the most? And if you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your strength, by definition, he is who you love more than anything. And for that love, will we daily repent of our sin and daily believe in the good news? Will we receive the good news of the promise of the kingdom of joy and find our lives changed more and more forever? Perhaps even, will we dare to ourselves become fishers of men and tell our friends and our family about the good news of the kingdom? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we can never thank you enough that Jesus came to proclaim good news, that the time had come at last for the kingdom to be brought near, for our relationship with God to be restored, and peace and joy to reign in our hearts, even if not yet in the world. Help us, Lord, to love you above all, to repent, to believe, and to share this good news. In Jesus' name, amen.